بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يطع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقي فأولئك هم الفائزون وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الناس معادن كمعادن الذهب والفضة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته My honorable brothers, from the conversations that we are hearing and from the reading material that we are reading and the interaction with people, there seems to be an element and a vibe of despondency in the ummah. There's a loss of hope, or there's lack of hope, and people are saying that now that the condition of the ummah has reached such a stage, that what are we going to do about it? People have reached a stage where they are crying about the apathy and the state of affairs of the Muslims throughout the world. They are saying that the Muslims have failed in the lines of ibadat, have failed in the lines of muamalat, of muasharat, of ibadat, of akhlaqiyat, and if not dozens but scores and hundreds and thousands are now even failing iman and leaving the fold of Islam. This is the talk and this is the mindset of the people. However, my dear brothers, let us look at what insan is made from and the composite of insan and human being, and we hope to take it into a positive direction. Insan, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says, وَلَقَدَ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ وَلَقَدَ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ تِينَ In another place, مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى All these three ayat, or portions of the ayat that I have mentioned in front of you, they mean that insan has been created from sand, from clay, from soil. And then he shall return to that and he shall be resurrected from that. My brothers, what is the quality of soil? What is the quality of sand? Sand, when you just leave it as it is and no effort is made upon it, then it can be blown away by the wind. Sand, if it is left unattended, anybody can erect any structure upon that piece of land, that piece of sand. Then on the other hand, my respected brothers, if sand is looked at with the eye of gain, with the eye of profit, with the eye of benefit, and say, no, let us dig in this sand, let us excavate, let us do some mining, and you find that man dug beneath the ground and he came out with gold. When he needed water, he dug in the same soil and he found water. When man needed steel, steel is made up from different elements. But when he needed the basics for steel, he dug into the ground. When he needed copper, he went into the ground. He knew that now soil, when you make effort upon it, it can give me something. Then you get that person that looks at the soil And he says, I'm feeling cold in winter and I'm feeling hot in summer. I need something to protect me. And he takes that very same soil, and what does he make, my dear brothers? He makes a little hut for himself. The very same soil, he found that now, working upon that hut, he has to update it and renovate it every now and then. So with the same soil, he makes little bit more solid bricks. He bakes that soil, and now he's erecting buildings. So my respected elders and brothers, when mankind made effort upon soil, then you find all types of things coming about. In fact, if you look at it, no matter what we find on the face of this earth, if it has to be left to disintegrate and to rot and decay, it will go back to soil. Some elements will decay quickly, and some will take hundreds of years, some will take thousands of years, but they will return to the soil. So when man understood that making effort upon raw soil can give him such results, then, my dear brothers, what stops us from making effort upon that, what you call, byproduct, or upon that manufactured product that is the best thing what soil has ever produced, and that is insan. Human being is same like what he is made from. Human being is just like the sand that he comes from. When you worry about him and you ingrain good qualities in him, it is as if like farming is taking place on soil. So then a person is plowing the field, and the person is working on the field. He is de-weeding that field. He is removing the rocks. He is removing the stones. And then when the soil is just right, he takes the seeds and he throws it onto that soil. And after some time, there's a sprout. From there, it's a little plant. It's a seedling. And then, my dear brothers, you find beautiful sugarcane. You find beautiful maize plants. You find beautiful wheat growing. All that is giving so much of benefit to mankind. And perchance, what the man planted was an apple tree, or it was a fruit tree. Now that very same tree is giving shade to insan. The very same tree is giving fruits that are so healthy, and the fruits look so beautiful in one's hand. But when you observe it on the tree, how much more beautiful it looks, my dear brothers. Not only that, the silkworm is benefiting from the tree and making silk. The goat is coming and eating leaves and giving milk. The deer is coming there and eating the greenery and giving musk. The sheep is coming and giving wool. The cow is coming and giving milk, my dear brothers. So much of benefit comes out from what soil produces. When insan, when human being will not be left just like that to his own peril, to his own understanding, that now you do jaisa karna chahe waisa karo, manmani zindagi guzaro. Live how you want to live. The slogans of the world, Allah Ta'ala save us from the reality of them. Do as you want. Number two, you live as you will. Make the best of life. Suck the marrow out of life. Enjoy life. Life is mine. Live once. Are we not hearing these slogans? Are we not reading it everywhere, my dear brothers? This is all to tell us that we should gamble with the life. But the deen that we belong to, my dear brothers, and the deen that we have, and Islam that we belong to, doesn't teach us this. Rather, my respected elders and brothers, when a man, when human being will look at himself and then de-weed all those things that don't belong in him, he will de-weed himself of hatred, he will de-weed himself of malice, he will de-weed himself and herself of anger and adawat and all these other unwanted entities that are stuck in man's heart. Jealousy. My dear brothers, Slowly that heart now is being prepared. And then when a farmer comes across certain rocks that he cannot remove just by hand, then he gets excavating machines. When human being finds himself in a difficult situation that he can't progress spiritually, then he's got to make effort upon himself to go to those that excavate this akhlaq-e-raza'il from his heart. And then, my dear brothers, when that heart is ready, now in the case of the farm, the person is planting seeds. In the case of human being, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will plant his marifat in that heart, which is recognition. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will plant his love in that heart. Imagine a heart that has the love of Allah. Imagine a heart that has the love of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When that heart, my dear brothers, hands itself over, like that farm, hands itself over to the farmer, and then it sprouts so much of things. Imagine when a person will hand himself over to Janabe Pak Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That a worry and concern of my Nabi is my worry. What Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood for. What was his motto and goal in life? To some extent, a millionth of a fraction, that is also my goal, my dear brothers and elders. Then what will come out from that insan? That insan and human being will sprout akhlaq. He will sprout good character, which is a very deep subject. But this good character is a start of every one of his progress that can ever come about. He will be like a tree. Wherever he goes, he'll be giving the people fruit. What fruit? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He's greeting the people. He has made salam common in the ummah. Then he's got the eye. What kind of eye? One eye is to look at the people's things and drool. Ral tapakna. Kaash ke wo gari bhi mera ho jai. Kaash ke wo makan mera bhi ho jai. How I wish that house, that business, that girl that he married, how I wish I married her. The person drools. But when a person is sprouting iman and sprouting akhlaq, and sprouts that come out from him, akhlaq, my dear brothers, and good character that is in him, now he will look at people and he look for the good of people. When he comes to the masjid, he will think himself to be the worst. In the entire masjid, everybody is better than me. If he's going in a journey, then all the passengers are better than him. If he's going to learn deen, then every student is better than him. If he's going to sit in the company of mashayikh, then his fellow brothers who are also in the line of suluk are better than him. If he's going in the path of Allah, striving with his health and wealth, then every sati in the jamaat is better than him. In his business, his staff is better than him. This is the eye that will develop. And my dear brothers, he'll stay away from zan. He will stay away from suspicion and looking at people with an evil eye. Allah will develop him, my dear brothers. Allah Jalla Jalalu will make him an embodiment of mushk, an embodiment of ambar, an embodiment of musk, an embodiment of sweet fragrance, my dear brothers. That when this person, when he walks in any direction, people just wish to learn something from him. When he goes in any direction, people just want to be in his company. Why? He has now taken that heart and handed it over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected friends, very, very clearly, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think this ummah is such that we have to throw the towel in. Yes, my dear brothers, the ummah are in the gambling dens. Yes, my dear brothers, the ummah are drinking like fish. The ummah are not coming to the masjid that is there. But whose ummah is this? Does this ummah belong to some other person? They belong to us, my dear brothers. The brethren, that have gone off the tangent and off the Qibla belong to the Ikhwah, belong to the Brotherhood of Islam. Wallah, my dear brothers, sometimes one of the nails become an ingrown toenail. I never heard anybody going for an amputation of the toe. So when some of our brethren of the Ummat, or a large portion of the Ummat, are ingrown toenails, that are effigies in society, should we flush them down and say that now these are NPH, non-progressive human beings, out of line? No, my dear brothers. Look, history gives us numerous examples of how the Ummat came back. Yunus ibn Matta, Sahib Hud, alayhi salam. Yunus alayhi salam has got a qawm, my dear brothers. His people are disobedient. And now he feels that the point has been reached when they cannot come back. It is a point now that they're asking for the azab from Allah. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam leaves their company, leaves the place where they are staying, and he makes hijrat and takes a journey. I'm going to cut the long story short. When he returns, each and every one of them, my dear brothers, had made tawbah and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has got so much of mercy for the Ummat. Wallah, my dear brothers and elders, Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made effort, what fitna was not prevalent in that time? Show me today which person in Durban, which person in KZN buries his daughter alive? Yes, my dear brothers, figuratively many people have buried their daughters alive. Isliye ke unhone apne beti ke lihaz nahi kiya. They did not think what they're doing when they're making decisions for their daughters in life. They looked at the rat race of life and they said, now we hand over and succumb to what society wants, that the woman has to take the seat of the man. But still, my dear brothers, even those who figuratively buried their daughters, there is a process of exhuming the body. And this is a live body to exhume, it's even more easier. Society, my dear brothers, might have gone off the tangent, but don't lose hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the time of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what type of hearts change in the positive direction? Do we recall the example of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu? It's easy to read in the Talim. It's easy to read in the Talim. Wither Umar after finishing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But do we know what Umar radiallahu anhu was about to do? He had a naked sword and he was going to do the most sinister errand ever possible, and that is behead the most noble head that ever existed on the face of this earth, the head of Janabi Pak Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made dua for Umar. And then a time comes when Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about the same Umar, لو كان النبي بعدي لكان عمر. If there had to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar. Such an Umar, what was he before Islam? And then he became the one upon whom Allah Ta'ala used to send ilham. His heart was such that what was the desire of Allah, Allah would open it upon the heart of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That same Umar, the constitutions of the world today might hide their files, but when you compare the rules and how they dictate their communities and lands, they're working on the tartib of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. My honorable brothers and elders, do we not remember the example of Wahshi, who caused so much of grief to Islam, and then to cause grief to Shari alayhi salam himself? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam never wept as he wept on the demise of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to such an extent that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even said, now that we have to take such revenge upon them, that 70 of theirs have to be taken, Allah reveals an ayat, وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَإِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enjoining sabr upon his Nabi, my dear brothers. What pain these who were not in Islam caused. There was no hope, so to say. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission is one of hope, my dear brothers. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission is one that those who nobody want to look at them. What was the condition of the Arabs before Deen came to them? They used to drink blood. One is to drink blood, my dear brothers. There's very few tribes in the world, if you study, that drink blood. But they used to drink blood without a sauce. If blood is seen, like how a person just sees honey, he say, honey is sweet, let me take it. They used to drink blood like that. They used to fight for years on end. Illogical human beings. No direction in their life. And then, when effort was made upon them, these very same people became radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah was happy with them and they happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh my friends and elders, pick up the spirits of despondency, place the puzzle together and let's stand as an ummat. Let's work together as an ummat. And one might say that this example that you are quoting is 1434 years old plus minus. So how can the same effort upon the human beings have an effect now? Then why not dwell on the example of Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah Ali that worked on the people who are known as the Mewatis. One or two of the qualities of the Mewatis are exactly like that of the Arabs. They would fight. They were a qawm that way, my dear brothers, you cannot even talk to them. No logic will sink into them. Hard people. People who were in Jahiliyat, people who live twofold life, kabhi Muslim, kabhi Hindu. When it is Eid, then they say Eid Mubarak. And when it is the occasions of those who are worshipping fire, then also Mithai Mubarak. Their life was such, no Salat, no Quran, no Zakat. They women, they used to oppress them, just like the people of the past. In the Jahiliyyah, Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali looked into the life of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the life of Sahaba, and then brought what we'll say, my dear brothers, not the Windows 7 and Windows 8 program. He brought the program of Hidayat and downloaded it onto that Ummat. All the viruses escaped, my dear brothers, and then they were receiving directly after that. When they came into action, these are very same Mewatis for whom, upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given many, many people hidayat around the world. Until today, they are going out in the path of Allah, making good, good effort. So come plus minus 100 years down the line, when the ummah once again is heading in its own direction, when the ummah once again has turned deaf ears to hayal al-salah and hayal al-falah, when the ummah once again forgot that we have to die, when the ummah once again can walk into the nightclubs and party till the late hours, wallah, my dear brothers, the ulama ikram, they are toiling and working hard to see to it that this ummah must come back to its direction. Whether they are working abroad or locally, whether they are setting up small makatib, or Darul Ulooms, oh my dear brothers, having Islahi programs like the one that will take place on the 24th weekend in Stanger, my dear brothers, or whether, my dear brothers, it is the Ijtima that is going to take place on the 15th and 16th and 17th in Tills Crescent in Overport, this is all adding up to one solution, that bus of that ummat, that flight of that ummat, that ship of that ummat, the bus that is stuck in the mud, and the flight that is stuck in the airport, and the ship that is stuck in the harbor, that requires that tug, that requires that movement. This is the mission of the Ijtima in front of us, my dear brothers. Wallahi lazim. The awliya Allah are giving duas. The pious are giving duas. The seniors of the localities are giving duas. There's such an event. Such an event is almost at our doorstep.
where each and every one can play a part. Now listen carefully, my dear brothers. This istima, it is my istima. My istima means mine. It is not the istima of Durban. It is not the istima of Central Zone. This is the istima that is my istima. And when we say my house, when we say my home, my children, my car, then look what Quran says. Kul hadhi sabili. This part of calling to Allah is the part of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This istima is my istima, and I'm going to make effort for it. One is, my dear brothers, we will embark a few minutes on the preparatory measures of the istima. But I'm making a call from a mimbar of Masjid al-Hilal. Each and every person, each and every man, each and every boy that is here, 15 years and older, at least one time, for a span of 3 days plus minus, come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prior to the ijtima. The benefit of this, my dear brothers, is when the engine is heated, then you get a smooth drive in the morning. When one time we will take our entire masjid brothers in the path of Allah, then the directive of how to spend time in the ijtima will become a fruitful one, my dear brothers. At the same time, my respected elders and brothers, we need the du'as of each and every person. Tell the woman folk at home, this ijtima is your ijtima. This ijtima is your ijtima. Someone will say, what can the woman do for the ijtima? Wallah, my dear brothers, Sayyidina Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, she featured as the mother of this ummat, the noble wife of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed solace, where did he go and say, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, Dastiruni, Dastiruni? It was in the company of our mother Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. The woman of this ummat, play a valuable part, my dear brothers. When we look at a Parker pen, or you look at a Mont Blanc pen, or whatever pen you fancy, a Waterman pen, you only see the outside, the refill is what works, my dear brothers. When we look at the engine of a car, its engine is hidden. But what do the people say? How old is the engine? What is the torque of the engine? Similarly, the engines of this ummat are the mothers and sisters who might not feature on the grounds of the ijtima, who might not go and do gush for the ijtima, who might not go door to door for the ijtima, but request them daily to read Yasin Sharif, read Durud Sharif. Har dard ke liye durud kafi hai, for every pain and worry, Durud Sharif is sufficient, my dear brothers. So our women folk, to make dua, to fast, and to encourage each and every one of their sisters in the locality, that your men on the day of the ijtima should not be found at home. No man must be found at home on the day of the ijtima, except those who are sick and ailing, except those who are mazur and cannot come out. No man should be left home, my dear brothers. You must see the example of Amr bin Jamu that comes and says, Allahumma la taruddani ila ahli. Imagine a man with a lame foot, lays no excuse upon himself, he's there. He's there to, so to say, in inverted commas, when the ijtima of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place, Amr bin Jamu didn't stay back. Look at Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What a sahabi. When the ijtima of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place, he didn't stay back. He came and presented himself, my dear brothers. So now that is one angle, the preparation, that every door, every home, every hut, every jondal, every little cardboard where people sleep, and if that person belongs to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he's got iman, bring him to the ijtima, my dear brothers. Then comes the preparatory measures. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Today this ummah that is mechanically inclined, press button, the garage door lifts up. Press button, the car doors open. Press button, my dear brothers, everything is happening. Time to leave that press button and press the nafs, my dear brothers. Come to the ijtima and follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who picked up the pick, who dug for the sake of this ummat, who dug for the sake of the cause of Allah's deen coming alive. Every person seated here can do something. Every person, no matter how old, no matter how weak, no matter how frail, no matter how rich, no matter how poor. Give hand in the ijtima, my dear brothers. Imagine if Qiyamah day, I'm just saying, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to announce, where's those that helped the ijtima of deen? Where's those that helped the deen of Allah to come alive? And we just took one peg, or we moved one shoe and put it in the right place. We made one shoe shelf, or we assisted in placing one drop of salt in the food. Our name is also included in that, my dear brothers. So brothers, in your masajid, in your localities, there are brothers that are knocking the doors. Don't wait for them to come and ask what to do. Be like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. When Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that we have to make hijrat, then on the night when he came to, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to him, immediately he was ready. Conversation goes by, how come you're ready? He says, Ya Nabi Allah, from the time that you announced that we have to go, I was ready from that time, I didn't need any preparation. Don't wait for people to ask us to do something for deen, my dear brothers. Today when people want money for something, we say, go and ask the rich. Ask the businessman, ask the industrialist. This is one time. This is one time, my dear brothers. When the ummah has to hear, each and every person, come forward and lend a hand for the cause of deen. Hidayat will come. Allah Jalla Jalalhu will bring his Nabi's words to fore. Hamare Nabi ke har pakke kache makan ke andar deen aane wale hai. Deen will come alive in every baked and unbaked home. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummah that is here is going to give that hand, my dear brothers. Come, make mashura with the brothers and work. Together with that, it is a silsila of the awliya Allah. Khwaja Nizamuddin awliya Allah. Khwaja Alauddin Bakhtiyar Khaki. Whichever wali you look at, whichever nabi you look at, especially Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, they had the quality of feeding. Yeah, the ijtima, my dear brothers, feeding is going to take place. When the ummah will be eating food that is prepared, but imagine we take that particular food and bread and present it to somebody. Each and every person, when we are given responsibilities to serve in the ijtima, my dear brothers, go and do the feeding duties and see how much of du'as we'll get from the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this ijtima a success. Allah ta'ala hasidin ke hasad se bacha de. Shariron ki shararat se bacha de. Allahumma la sahla illa ma jaltau sahla. Nothing can be easy what that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy. And my dear brothers, we beg Allah for afiyat. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afiyah, dawam al-afiyah, wa shukr al-afiyah. We ask Allah for afiyat in the beginning, in the end, and we ask Allah ta'ala to give us tawfiq to make shukr upon that afiyat. And may this ijtima, and the ijtima that is taking place, my dear brothers, around the world, and every effort of deen be a means of spreading deen in the four corners of this world. Allah ta'ala give you tawfiq and me tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.